This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Daniel Hoffman on the line of Middle East Concern, and we're going to be talking about Sudan, because the military council and opposition, they signed a constitutional declaration this weekend, supposedly that helps move the country towards civilian rule. Now, Daniel, my first question for you, the military and opposition signed an agreement back in July that I thought did kind of the same thing. So what makes this development different?
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. In July the 17th, they signed a power sharing agreement, which contained in very broad outlines what the future ruling system would be, or at least in the interim period. And now in the constitutional declaration, which was what was called initialed yesterday, they give it more details. So it's a document that says of the three different entities that will make up the government, so the legislative council, the sovereign council, which kind of has the role of a president, and the cabinet, what their relationships are with how they relate to each other, what their powers are, what the limits on their power are, those kind of things.
So it sounds like they're trying to set up a power sharing government, kind of power sharing among these different entities, kind of like the US is split up.
Yes, yeah, except the kind of what in the US would be the presidency is a council here of 11 members, not one person, but yeah, otherwise you have the sovereign council, and then you have the cabinet with the ministers with different responsibilities, and the legislative council, which is like Congress.
Okay, great, thank you. Now, this has been an ongoing and sometimes bloody kind of revolution. Protests began in late 2018, and then Bashir was ousted in April. How has all of this affected the body of Christ in Sudan?
Well, of course, the body of Christ is Sudanese and has therefore the same or similar hopes and dreams and fears as many other people in Sudan. They were and are still hoping that there will be a peaceful transition, and it will be a transition into a more open government, a government that will rule justly, that will have the well-being of its citizens as its aim, and not just perpetuating its own rule, and that it wouldn't be a corrupt government and things like that. So in that sense, they share the dreams and hopes of many other Sudanese. But in addition, under the old regime, the church faced extra pressures. There were arrests and court cases against Christians in the two main denominations. The government had installed a fake committee that was trying to rule the denominations and sell properties and all kind of nasty things. There were problems in the schooling system and things like that. So the churches were hoping that some of these problems would be solved as well. And actually, I believe about a week after the fall of then President Bashir, their transitional military council called the church leaders for a meeting and say, let us know what are the issues you're facing, what are your problems, how can we help you? And the next day, a solution to some of the problems in the educational system was announced. So they were very hopeful. But unfortunately, since then, just a few weeks ago, one of the court cases involving one of the denominations that has a fake committee forced upon them by the old regime, their court cases started again. They had won the original court case, saying the fake committee was indeed a fake committee. And the government, the court ruled in favor of the church. But then the government appealed that decision. And now the court case will be redone. Again, just the first hearing was a few weeks ago. So the church is worried that in these problems that they're facing through the legal system, not much has changed so far.
And that leads perfectly into my next question. One of the articles I read was saying that, you know, it's going to be hard to kind of disentangle all of the Bashir loyalists and kind of the old way of doing things. It's going to be hard to change that. So how likely is it that the transition from military to civilian rule will actually happen? I mean, they're putting plans in place, but is there any way to tell if those plans will actually work out?
That is difficult to say, and that's also why, say, the demonstrators and other people hoping for change have responded differently to the agreement that was signed yesterday. Some of them say it's not enough, and some of them say, well, it's a start at least, and let's celebrate the fact that some steps were set in the right direction. One of the problems is the Sovereign Council. So it has five military members, five civilian members that are chosen by the demonstrators and opposition. And then there is one civilian candidate that needs to be approved by both the government, both the military and the demonstrators. And that council will be led for the first 21 months by someone from the military, and then by the remaining 18 months by a civilian. And the fear is that the government, so the military, will use those initial 21 months that they are chairing the Sovereign Council to entrench their interests and to make it much more difficult for the civilian chair of the Sovereign Council for the the remaining 18 months to undo some of the changes that the military did in the first 21 months. And the military regime that supported the old government had almost 30 years to entrench themselves in society, in the economic system, in the security system, etc., etc. And they have used that time well. So it will not be easy to get rid of them completely, and all the people that they put in positions and all the vested interests that they have accumulated. And again, the fact that the military insisted that they will start the interim period by chairing the Sovereign Council seems to point in the same direction, that they want to make sure that they make all the preparations they need to make before the civilians will start to chair the Sovereign Council and before the official full handover to 100% civilian rule will happen.
And all of this, will it mean continued hardship for the church, or will they have a brief window of freedoms? Is there any way to speak into that?
Well, that's definitely an issue for prayer. It's difficult to say for sure. Declarations have been signed, documents have been signed, and in theory, in principle, division between the different ruling entities have been divided. But what it is going to look like in real life, and to what extent the interim government, let alone the fully civilian government that will follow it, will be committed to enforcing human rights in general, ruling justly, and providing, among other things, religious freedom to the Christian church and other minorities communities. It is difficult to know for sure. Time will have to tell, but it is definitely something that the church is hoping for, and it definitely is something that the church is praying for.
And you've shared ways to pray for the government, obviously, and the transitional council and all that. How can we pray specifically for the church, for the Christians in Sudan? What are some of their prayer needs?
Well, right now, at the moment, as I referred to earlier, there is the court case against the Sudan Church of Christ, one of the larger denominations, where a committee, fake committee, forced upon the denomination by the old regime, is trying to take over the whole denomination, leadership of the denomination. So we can definitely pray for those court proceedings, that they will have a just outcome, and the church denomination will be able to continue to choose their own leadership. There is a similar process going on in another denomination, the Sudan Presbyterian Evangelical Church. So again, we can pray for those court proceedings and for justice to be done there, and the court to rule in favor of the church there. And then in a more wider sense, the church is hoping, and as I said, praying very much, that the transition government and the new civilian government that will come after them will rule based on the rule of law, equality for all citizens, including the Christian communities, and religious freedom.
All right, that wraps up my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
Nope, just thank you for giving some attention to the church in Sudan. I know that will be a great encouragement for our brothers and sisters there, knowing that people in America and other places in the world are praying for them. That's always a great encouragement for the church.